Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Moed Katan. We find ourselves at the top of Daf Yud Chet Amud Aleph, that's 18a, and we're at the end of the second line from the top. This series of recordings is a joint project of OU Torah, the OU Department of Synagogue Services, and the Daf HaShuva Foundation. What we've been discussing are two parallel tracks, things that are forbidden to do during the seven-day period of mourning called Shiva, and similar items. They are similar but not exactly the same, of items that you're not allowed to do during the intermediate days of the festival during Chol HaMoed. So what we were talking about in our previous recording was cutting one's nails. And although there is a dispute between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, we paskin like Shmuel, which is on the lenient side, that on the essential halacha is that one may cut their nails both during Shiva and during Chol HaMoed. As we'll see in the continuation of this discussion, the prevalent minhag, and possibly the halacha, is not to cut one's nails with a nail clipper, but to do it with one's hands or with one's teeth. But that is the prevalent minhag. Anyway, here is a story related to removing one's nails during a mourning period. Second line on the top, second line down, top of Yud Chet Amud Aleph. Pinchas Achua de Mar Shmuel, Pinchas, who was the brother of Shmuel, Itra Be Milta, something bad happened to him, by which we mean that he had a relative who passed away and it's a euphemism for saying that he was in mourning. Al Shmuel Lemish Al Tama Mine, Shmuel went up to ask some reasons from him. That's the literal translation, as Rashi explains, it means lidaber alibo, in other words, to give him some consolation, to pay a shiva call. Chazinu litufre dahave nefishan. He saw that his nails were very long. Amarle, so he said to him, amai lo shalkatluhu, why didn't you cut your nails? Your nails are extremely long. Indicating that he felt that it was permitted for him to cut his nails even during his Shiva period. Amarle, he said to him, Ibedide hava, if it was you who was in mourning, if it had happened to you, he spoke to him in the third person, if it happened to, you know, the master, Mimzalzelpe kulehai, would you be so cavalier about it? Would that be what you were thinking about, is cutting your nails during your Shiva? Mizalzelpe kulehai have, would you be so dismissive of it? So that's how he responded. I guess in a way he seemed to have sort of responded defensively. Either he thought that it was permitted, he thought that it was forbidden to cut his nails, and he was taken off guard that he was being challenged on the halacha, or he felt that he was being criticized unfairly, or he felt like this is not something we should be talking about after I just lost my loved one. The Gemara describes what he said, though, which was somewhat in anger, as kishkaga sheyotze milifnei shalit, like a mistaken decree that goes out before the king. And this is a quotation from a pasuk in Kohelet. And what it means is, sometimes you say something and then it comes true, even if you didn't mean it. So the king renders a sentence and then he nullifies and it says, no, you're not supposed to do that. Or he mentions, wouldn't it be nice if so-and-so didn't bother me anymore, and his minions then think that it's a good idea to go get rid of him. You know, it's like a veiled threat. But even if it's an unintended threat, sometimes it can come true. So it says, like, he said to him, if you had someone who passed away, would you care about your nails? V'itra be milta b'shmuel. And then Shmuel suddenly also fell into avelo. Someone in his family died. So al Pinchas achua l'mishal tamaminei. Now Pinchas went up to Shmuel to pay him a shiva call and to offer him words of consolation. When he got there and he was sitting in the shiva call, Shmuel shaklinu l'tufre. Shmuel cut his nails in front of him, chavtinu la'ape, and threw them in his face. Amarle, and he said to him, Leislach brit kruta l'sfatayim, don't you know that a covenant is enacted by way of the lips? In other words, when you say something, you should be really careful what you say, because when you say something, it can have consequences, especially if you're a righteous person, a tzaddik. You say something, words can have consequences. And you said, if you had someone who passed away in your family, and all of a sudden now I'm in Avelus, and he was angry about it. I don't know if he was necessarily saying that Pinchas caused the person to die or anything, but it still, it felt like to him, like, it felt like it was a very not nice thing to say, and especially when it happened right afterwards, it made him angry. So he throws his nails in his face, which is really a very abrupt and awkward situation. I don't know if there were other people there, perhaps it was just the two of them, but even still, a very stark example. So this idea, however, that one should be careful what they say, that when a person says something, it creates a momentum that that thing should be true, we learn it from a certain drasha. D'amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Minayin shebrit kruta l'svatayim?" How do you know that you can create a covenant simply by saying words, by, you know, using one's lips? Shenemar, as it says, "Vayomer Avraham el ne'arav." When Avraham said to his manservants, to his young lads, "Shvulachem po, you stay here, imachamor with the donkey, va'ani va'nar, and I and the young boy, that's Yitzchak, nilcha adko, we will go until there, up on the mountain, v'nishtachaveh, we will daven, and here's the important part, v'nashuv." And we will return to you. And this is a pasuk that many of the commentators have noticed, that Avraham was there with his, was going to go up on the mountain with Yitzhak, and the intention based on Hashem's command to him was that he was going to offer Yitzhak as a sacrifice. If he were then to offer Yitzhak as a sacrifice, he would have to say, "Ve'ashuva aleichem," I will come back to you, because Yitzhak wasn't coming back if he was going to be sacrificed. So in that case, one could argue that Avraham was being a little bit deceptive. He didn't want to tell the boys what he was doing, so he said, "We'll return to you," even though he, you know, in that case, he's lying a little bit. He really only intends to come back alone. Or perhaps one could say that Avram never really intended to sacrifice Yitzhak, or he didn't understand Hashem's command that he would have to sacrifice Yitzhak, or perhaps he felt that Hashem would change his mind, which he did. So that's one way of looking at it. That's the second way of looking at it. The third way of looking at it, which the Gemara says, is that when Avraham said, "V'nashuv aleichem," he said, "We will return to you," he created a kind of a brit kruta l'sfatayim, some kind of a covenant of his lips, that created a momentum for it to happen. V'istaya milta, and the matter happened. The hadur tarvayhu, that both of them came back. So the Gemara is indicating somehow that by saying it, Avraham helped make it come true. That's a little hard to argue unless Hashem agreed with him, or unless it was considered a tefillah or something like that. But what he argues is that when you say things, they are more likely to come true. And I think that this is true also psychologically and also legally, meaning we understand that a person can effect a kinyan by saying Hari At Mikudeshet Li. Those words are important words, and we understand that when a person says, makes affirmation, says, "I can do this, I believe in myself," and they say that out loud, that those things can affect whether or not a person is successful as well. So it is important to be careful of the things that we say. Okay, continuing on in the sugya of cutting nails, savur mine diyad in deregel lo. Now we're digging down into it. They understood, based on the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, that he permitted one to cut the nails of one's hand, one's fingernails, but not one's toenails, because presumably fingernails are more gross. Like, you use your hands a lot, they're very visible, you can see them. So you can cut your hands so that they're not gross. But the regel, the toenails, which are not seen nearly as much, certainly not when we wear closed-toe shoes almost all the time, but just, you know, cutting one's toenails would seem to be less required. So perhaps we make a distinction. Amar Avanan Bar Tachlifa, said, "Lididi, to me, Mifrasha li mine, it was explained to me from him, mine de Shmuel, according to Shmuel, loshna diyad, veloshna deregel. It doesn't matter fingernails and it doesn't matter toenails. They are equal in this regard, and both are permitted, both during Chol HaMoed and during one's Shiva period." And we paskin this way. Amar Rav Chia bar Ashi Amar Rav, Rav Chia, the son of Ashi, said in the name of Rav, "Uveginustra asur." However, one cannot use a genustra. So the question is, exactly what is a genustra? So Rashi and the Ran and the Mikhail Yosef, a few others, Rishonim, mentioned that this is misparayim. In other words, it is a tool that is used for cutting one's nails. In other words, one shouldn't use a specific implement to cut one's nails, but they should do it either with their own hands or with their teeth. And this is the current practice. However, the Tosfos paskins, he mentions that according to the Aruch, that a genustre is not just a scissors, any kind of implement, but it is a kli hametukan litolsi pornaim. It's a particular kind of tool that's used for removing fingernails. And we have such a thing. We have, you know, nail clippers. Nail clippers are only used for removing nails. Now, there are also nail scissors, and you could potentially use a pair of regular scissors. But this is a nail clippers is a particular tool used for this, and that would be the thing that was usher. Now, if you follow the Aruch's opinion, it actually possibly leads you towards a leniency, which is to say the only way you can't remove your nails is with a particular nail clipper. However, you could still use a regular scissors or some other implement. You could also use your teeth. You could also use your hands, as long as it's not a kli hametukan lazem, a specific vessel, you'd be able to do it. On the other hand, if you view it like Rashi, which is just any kind of scissors, it would mean that if you follow Rav's chumrah, then you can only use non-implement. You have to make a shinui, enough of a shinui that it's between a kli and a yad that is the shinui. Okay, another story about this. So lots of stories about toenail and fingernail cutting. Amar Rav Shimon bar Abba. Rav Shimon bar Abba said, Hava ka'imna kame Rabbi Yochanan. I was once came in front of Rabbi Yochanan, Bei Midrasha, in the Beit Midrash, Bechulo Shomoed, on the intermediate days of the festival. So the previous story was during Avelut, and this one is during Chol HaMoed. So Rabbi Yochanan was in the Beit Midrash, Vishaklinu Letufrei Beshine, and he cut his fingernails with his teeth, Vizarkinu, and he threw them on the floor. So Shma Amina Talat. We learn three things from his behavior. Shma Amina, number one, Mutar Litol Tziparnayim B'chulo Shel Moed. It is permitted to cut one's fingernails on Chol HaMoed, because Rabbi Yochanan was doing it, and that is a clear sign that it is permitted to do it. Ushma Amina Ein Bahem Mishum Mius. And the Shma Amina, too, is that it is not disgusting to do. In other words, from an aesthetic perspective, this act of cutting one's fingernails off with one's teeth and spitting them or throwing them on the floor is not considered miyus. Now, miyus could either be a halachic category of something like al tishaktsu et nafshotechem, doing things that are disgusting in general, or it could be a question of aesthetics, like is it polite to cut one's fingernails in the Beit Midrash? Now, in this regard, there may be a big difference, but depending on one's culture and society. For instance, whether you're cutting them with a nail clippers or with your teeth, whether you are putting them in a tissue or throwing them on the floor, it to me is considered totally gross, and I think to most people, when you see someone on the subway cutting their nails, let alone in the Beit Midrash. So from my 21st century perspective, I do not know if that standard of miyus would hold up. Perhaps we would have to argue that it is miyus. But in the standards of that day, during the period of the Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael, it was not considered miyus. It was not considered to be socially inappropriate to cut one's nails. Ushmamina, and Shmamina number three, Mutar Lizorkan, it's permitted to throw them on the floor, meaning he's allowed to throw them on the floor. And that's not a question of miyus, as we'll see in a second. It's a question of halacha. Now, interestingly, in this case, Rabbi Yochanan removes them on Chol HaMoed with his teeth, but that's not one of the Shmaminas. In other words, it's not clear whether or not we can learn from Rabbi Yochanan's behavior that you can remove your nails with your teeth, but not with a kli. Does he agree with Rav that you can't use a genustra? Perhaps he just didn't have a nail clipper there and didn't want to wait for one, or perhaps it was just easier for him to do it that way. One of the Shmaminas does not especially teach us from this lesson that you cannot use a kli, although, you know, it's possible to imply that that's a possible outcome of the story, but it is not a clear conclusion. So Gemara's challenges the last Shmamina, that it's permitted to throw one's nails on the floor. Ini, is this really true? The Hatanya, but then we learn in a Braita, Shlosha Dvarim Ne'emru Betzipornayim. There are three things or three categories of people related to one's nails. Hakovran Tzadik, the one who buries his nails, is called a Tzadik. By burying, it means you put them away from people. So I would say, and I didn't check to see how Poskim deal with this, but I believe that if you were to flush them down the toilet or throw them in the trash, that would be the same as Kovran. So the one who is korban is a tzaddik. Sorfan, a person who burns them, is a chassid, which is on an even higher level, because if you throw them in the trash, they could still get spilled out on the floor again, they could still be uncovered. But if you burn them, they don't exist at all. So getting rid of them, so they're not near other people, whether you bury them or burn them, you're considered a tzaddik or a chassid. But zorkan, one who throws them on the ground, is a rasha. According to this statement, when Rabbi Yochanan was throwing his nails on the floor of the Beit Midrash, he would be described as a rasha. That does not sound right. Tama mai, the Brisa continues, what's the reason why you're a rasha if you throw them on the floor? Shema ta'avor alein isha ubara, lest a pregnant woman walk over them. Vitapil isha, and then she will have a miscarriage. This is a relatively well-known thing, and people ask about it all the time. But it's very difficult to understand what it's talking about. In the Nemuka Yosef, he gives two explanations. One is that they are so disgusting, discarded toenail and fingernail clippings, that they will cause her to have a miscarriage, and that seems very hard to understand what that means. Or mishum kishuv, because of witchcraft, that people use nails in some kind of magical or sorcerous practices in order to cause women to miscarry. But that also seems very strange, and certainly I'm not aware of anyone, generally speaking, who does that nowadays, such that it would be such a common fact. Another possibility is that nails are sharp, like fingernails are sharp like nails, and perhaps if you discard them on the floor and women walk on them, it might puncture their skin and cause infections. And then a person gets an infection after bleeding, then the infection could cause problems in the pregnancy. And this is, I think, a possibility. I certainly think there are good non-halachic reasons not to throw your toe and fingernails on the ground. I think you should collect them and dispose of them from sanitary perspectives. What's interesting is the Gemara then goes on to give an explanation why this doesn't apply to Rabbi Yochanan in his situation. It says, Bei midrasha lo shchicha. In a Beit Midrash, women are not commonly found, which is true, I suppose, unless it's a women's Beit Midrash, of which there are a few these days. So since women were not to be found there, and certainly not pregnant women walking over there, he didn't feel like it was an issue that he had to be careful of, but perhaps when he cut his nails at home, where his wife was, he was more careful. V'chitema zimnin demichan she lehu, and you might want to say that sometimes they would collect them or sweep up the Beit Midrash, which they presumably did at least once a week, and then they might take all the sweepings from the Beit Midrash, which include his nails, and throw them outside. And outside, maybe women would then walk on them. So Gemara answers, since they change, they change. Meaning, we consider it to be dangerous when you take them immediately off your fingers and throw them on the floor, but if they're swept up into trash and then they get spilled someplace else, then it's not an issue anymore. Now, if that's true, halachically, it sort of takes away from the argument that that they are a sakana if they puncture the skin, because they would be problematic regardless of where they were. In any case, it does seem like this halacha is one of the halachot related to sakana. And generally speaking, in halachos related to sakana, some of them we are still makpi for, and some we are not. But it generally seems to be more talui, or it seems to be more dependent on minhag than on halacha. As an example, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, neither one of them brings this halacha, brings this as halacha. Neither one of them says that throwing one's nails on the floor is usur. It's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch as halacha, and perhaps because it was considered a kind of a sakana that was true at that time and place and isn't true anymore, or because it was something that was a general issue of sakana but not an issue of halacha, that one should be careful to protect oneself as a general category, but this specific one doesn't. However, some of the later poskim, including the Mishnah Brura, when he talks about in Or Chaim Reish Samech, when he talks about getting ready for Shabbos, and you're supposed to cut your nails as part of getting ready for Shabbos, he mentions there also a number of specific nihugim, a number of practices related to cutting one's nails, including not throwing them on the floor so that a woman will not walk over them. I am not aware that people are, well, I believe that people are generally careful about this. I don't think a lot of people, although I've heard of it, burn their nails, even though that seems to be the highest category. But I do think people in general are a little careful about collecting their nails and throwing them away. And I have heard that they are, that they tell women who are going to get their nails done when they're pregnant, when they go to nail salons, where presumably there's lots of nail clippings around, that if they want to be mock-peed on this, they should ask them to sweep the floor before they come to sit down to get their nails done. Whether or not one should be extremely careful about this, I don't know. It's certainly a minhag that some people have, and I think it's important to keep minhagim. On the other hand, I don't think that there's a great deal of sakana from it, so I don't think it's something that pregnant women have to worry about. We'll stop there on the middle of Daf Yud Chet. We'll continue on our next recording. Have a wonderful day.